So this past summer, we took a group of 35 students and adults down to Guatemala to partner with Paradise Bound Ministries. And so I am really excited to have Dan Smith, who is the founder and president of Paradise Bound. And when we were down in Guatemala, he was there every step of the way. He built houses with us. He did testimonies with us. He led us in devotions. And so he was a pivotal part of our entire experience. And our time down there was some of the most powerful experiences we've had with God. And so, Dan, we are super excited to have you here, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be here with us today.
Thank you, brother. All right, good morning again to everybody. Wow, it's got to be better than that, right? Our lives have got to be better than that when we profess our Lord. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Matthew 28. And it's a story that you all know well, right? You've heard it many, many times, especially as we get around Easter time. And so as we look that up, or as it comes up on the screen here for us, we need to do something different. Now, those who have been in Guatemala, you know what I'm going to say, right? That you have to put yourself into the story. It's different than just reading this today. If we read it, and if you listen to what I have to say, it remains external in your life. God can't do anything externally within our lives. It needs to come in here. We need to allow ourselves to become part of this story and this story to come alive within our own hearts today. So read it differently today. Look at it differently today as we read through it, and then we begin to take it apart and see what it is that God has for us this day. Matthew 28, starting at verse 1, going through verse 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, they worshiped him, and then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I might have to help you a little bit this morning to put ourselves into this story. It's not unlike going to a movie, right? Movies are billion-dollar industries, and if you're into any movies at all, you know that this time of the year, November and December, there's just a tremendous amount of movies hitting the market, and billions of dollars are spent going and seeing them. Why? Because it's something external? No, because they're internal. They grab us. They grab our attention, the drama and the emotion and everything that happens within that movie draws us in, or we wouldn't go. What if today you allowed that to happen through God's word? Not through movie magic, but through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, who is here with us, who can make this a part of our life and begin to change us, and then through that change the rest of the world as well. It starts right here with us today. It starts by me helping you along just a little bit. So let's go right to the beginning of this story, all right? Let's go to those women walking down that road. They're going to the tomb. It's early morning. What are they feeling? Put yourself in their place. What is in their hearts as they're walking down that road to take care of the body of their Lord and Savior, probably for one of the last times? 3 days before, they watched him. They watched him on the cross, hanging on that tree, a tree that he created. His blood running down that cross into the very ground that he formed with his own hands. They watched as that spear went into his side. And then they saw the blood and the water separated come out. And their hope is gone. There was nothing left. That's their mood. That's what they're walking with. They're empty. There's no hope. And they're going to that grave one last time. That's where our story begins. But is that not unlike some of our stories? Now, we get really good here in West Michigan, right? We cover that up so well. Man, we cover it up with things, with cars and with houses and jobs and goals and sports and busyness and wow, it looks like we've got everything together, right? Like we don't have that emptiness within our hearts. But I'm here to tell you today, if you don't have a living Savior in your heart, you are no different than these women walking along that road, sorrowful and mourning and hurting and empty. And there's only one who can fill their hearts and ours. We're going to look at some of that today. Read with me now, verses 2 through 4 once again. We're going to start to take this thing apart and keep it in God's word rather than my words here today. Verse 2 starts out this way, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it." I am so glad that God put that in there. Maybe it's just for me, but I love it that that angel in all his power and all his might does his job, sits down on the stone. Absolutely love it. There is nothing that can defeat our Lord in that moment. "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men." We've emotionally tried to capture what the women were walking through. Let's become guards for just a minute. Remember, back in that day, that Roman army was the elite of the elite. They were the most trained army in the world at the time. No one could defeat them. You, as a warrior, are accomplished. You've been sent to guard this tomb. You have faced death before on the battlefield. You've watched death and your opponents come and go. Nothing, nothing makes you fear. Until the very ground beneath your feet, like it happens in our life, begins to shake. The very thing that we stand on begins to rumble and move, and we no longer have that stability in our lives anymore. And more than that, an angel comes down and he looks at you. And it penetrates deeper than any sword ever could. He looks at you and all you want to do is scream and run away, but you can't. You've become like a dead man right in front of that angel. And that angel goes and does the exact thing that you're supposed to prevent. And you can do nothing about it. And that's just an angel, right? What's going to happen that day that our Lord comes, that day that he separates the goats from the sheep, because that day is coming. And our Lord will come, and he's going to have a day like that, only greater still than any angel can ever do. And that separation is coming, and we need to decide which side we're going to be on. We're going to look at this right now as we continue on. Look at what verse 5 says, because it starts to show us two different sides, things that we can look at. Look at the differences here. "But the angel said, not to everyone. He said to the women, do not be afraid." Those guards are afraid to the point that they are like dead men. But he says to the women, do not be afraid. Now, we could stop right there, right? And that's a wonderful blanket coverage that we can all have. God's word shows us 365 times different ways that he says, do not fear and fear not. He's got us covered, right? But there's a difference here. He says this to the women, do not be afraid. Why? Because I know that you are looking for Jesus. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you looking for Jesus in your life? Are you looking for Jesus? And remember, they were still a little bit confused. They didn't know about the resurrected Lord yet, but they were still looking for Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus in your life right now? With all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, that's what he calls us to do. That's what he asks us to do. There is no lukewarm. He talked about that, right? There's nothing in between. It's goats and it's sheep. But we get to make that decision. We get to make that decision today. To be looking for him, to be able to seek him. And God's word tells us when we seek him, we will find him. That's one of the promises that he has. So he says to the women, do not be afraid because I know that you are looking for Jesus. Are you looking for him today? We have this opportunity. Like we talked about with the Action Bible, it's just an opportunity. We don't know how many breaths we have left to take. Every single one of them that we take is but a gift from our Lord. How many more do you have? How many more do I have before that day comes? Verses 5 through 7, we're going to continue on now. But the angel of the Lord said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead. Go back to the beginning of the story. How were the women walking down that road? They were hurting. They were full of sorrow. They were empty. They had absolutely no hope. Nothing was left, just like oftentimes in our own lives. But everything's about to change. Everything is changing right now as they begin to hear and comprehend what it is that the angel is telling them. Everything is changing in their lives in eternity. Hope is being restored. They've got to believe. They've got to come to that point of believing. And it's got to be absurd what it is that they're hearing, that he's raised from the dead, just like he said. But then he invites them in. You see, we have to have a perspective change, right? Look at the timing of these two events. Look at the timing of the women, or us, walking down that road somber and sorrowful and mournful. That's the way a lot of people look at us Christians. But at the same moment, the greatest event in all of eternity was happening. God's Son was being raised from the dead at that very moment that they were walking like that. Do you see the difference? You see the perspective change that we need to have in our lives? We have to look at our lives and the lives around the world that He's called us to in a different perspective than what we have been. We have to look at them from God's perspective and what He tells us in His Word. I'm going to change pace here for just a moment. All of this begins to restore the hope, right? How exciting it is for the women to hear this, right? That Jesus Christ is being raised from the dead, that He's raised from the dead, that He's there and He's telling you to go and you're going to get to see Him today. And then the angel just has to go and ruin it, doesn't he? Do you see what I mean? Did you pick that up? He's saying, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Come see the place where He lay and go tell somebody else about it. Oh, man. That's the tough part, right? Man, we love the joy and the peace and the hope of being Christians and followers of Christ. And then comes that command. Then comes that commission. Now go and tell somebody else. That's what we're looking at as a mission emphasis week. Really, as a mission emphasis of our entire lives is that moment right there. And that's where we stall so often as Christians, is that moment that the angel says, go. But look at their decision. As he says, go quickly and tell that he has been raised from the dead. Put yourself into the story once again. You've heard this story since your youth, but have you gone yet? What if? I love to look at the what ifs in God's word because, see, we're at a disadvantage when we read a story like this. We know the beginning, the middle, and the end already, right? We know they went. We know that they encounter Christ happily ever after, right? But what about your life and what about mine? We do not know the end of our lives. The decisions that we make today, God's Word tells us, do not only affect us, they affect onto the third and fourth generation behind us and into the uttermost parts of the earth. What if they had not gone? What if those ladies, what if the women, whether for lack of belief or just a misunderstanding, stayed right there in the tomb? Now that'd be absurd, right? The angel just told them to go. Plus, they're going to go meet Jesus, right? But let's stop and think about this. Let's take this apart for just a moment. Why? Because it happens all too often in our own lives. It happened in my life for 20 years. Let's take it apart. Have you broken a stone open in the sunlight? Have you ever seen the sparkle and the glitter of all the different minerals and the things inside there? I mean, it's brilliant, right? This was a hand-hewn grave. More than that, it was a rich man's grave. Remember? What do you think that looked like inside there? Hearing all that news that Jesus Christ had been risen from the dead, in the brilliance of an angel bouncing off all that glittering and everything, it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. That tomb had become a place of life, a place of remembering, a place of announcement, a place of so much emotion for them. Would it not have been absolutely perfect for them to stay right there, right? Let's build a shrine. Let's invite more people to come in. Come. See, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and we're over here talking about it, and yet the angel told us to go. Do you see the difference? Do you see the contrast? Do you see the similarities within our own lives of how he's commanded us to go, and yet we stay? We stay in a place where we've learned that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We stay in a place that's beautiful. We stay in a place that can even be comfortable, because to go outside of that means we're outside of ourselves. Means we have to go tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. It would have been perfectly comfortable for them to stay right there in that tomb. But then the question becomes, of their decision to have stayed, would you today be sitting here? Would Christianity be around the world like it is already now? Would it be spreading? Likely not. What if you today decide not to go? What if you today make that decision? What's the ramifications, the third and fourth generation from now, and even further still, thousands of years from now? What's the ramifications on the 3 billion people in this world today who have yet to hear the name of Jesus Christ? Not those like we have in West Michigan, a church on every corner, who have had the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ and have chosen to follow or not to follow him. I'm talking about 3 billion people who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ around the world today. 3 billion. By the way, if you start counting, 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to get to 1 billion is over 30 years. To get to 3 billion would take you a lifetime, over 90 years to count, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how big that number is yet. That's how big our calling is. All of our calling is to leave that tomb and to go and to be able to present Jesus Christ, to tell others that he has risen from the dead. Verse 7 again, it says, go quickly, go quickly. You see, we have a choice to make today. If we're going to go or we're going to stay. But eternity is waiting for that decision that you and I make today. The women chose to go, right? It says here in verse 8 that they go quickly. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran. There's an urgency there that we're going to talk about in just a moment. You want to know fear? Go and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. It's a scary thing. Even as a missionary of 20 years, it's a scary thing. You guys are scaring me to death this morning just being here talking about Jesus, right? Not really. But it does. It does. It scares us. Why? Because there's an enemy out there, first of all, against us, against our Lord, and we're human. I mean, we have emotions, and if people get mad at us or they don't accept or this or that, you know what? There's fear. But I'm here to tell you something because it says that they left with fear and great joy. Ask any one of these team members that were down in Guatemala this past summer. What was one of the greatest joys that they had while they were in Guatemala was laying hands on somebody else as they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm here to tell you, most of the people will never, ever forget that for the rest of their lives and even through eternity as they get to spend eternity with those family members and friends in Guatemala who accepted Jesus Christ while they were there. So often we're walking down that road sorrowful and mourning our Christian life. When all the time, that great joy is ours to be had if we just go and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. It says that they ran. We could go into all kinds of other things today, but we're not going to on this. I'm just going to mention it so that we understand it. It says that they ran. How culturally appropriate do you think it was in those days for women to run? It wasn't. But they ran. There was an urgency in their hearts. There was a new belief, a new hope. There was something happening within them that caused them to go against culture and to go and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, it's about time as Christians that we go against our culture, go against some of the things that have been part of us for so long, and just go and do, to go and tell, to go and become the people that God has created us to be. There's an urgency of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have lost in our churches today. You see, we talked about 3 billion people, right? But here's something you need to know today. Maybe it'll spark that urgency of the gospel of Jesus Christ once again here at West End, once again with your individual hearts as well. Because you see, while we're here today, while we spend this 1 hour worshiping God and talking about a resurrected Christ and talking about him telling us to go, of those 3 billion people, 3,720 of them will die this hour. Without ever having heard the name of Jesus Christ. This Lord's Day, 89,280 souls will perish without ever having heard the name of Jesus Christ. The statistic is 62 every minute, or basically one every second passes away without knowing who Jesus even is, let alone that he died for their sins, that he rose again, that he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty doing what for them? He's interceding for them. And we yet haven't moved. We still are here. We haven't told them. If you ask anybody who's on that mission trip, whether from this church or from other churches here in West Michigan, maybe even other mission trips, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be Guatemala. Quite often you hear people say that, you know, I went to go and to bless others and to help others, and I left there more blessed and more helped than others. Why? Why? Because there's a spiritual law connected to that, that you cannot outgive God. Like I said to the little kids here today, you cannot outgive God. And I challenge anybody in this congregation, I don't care if you're a believer or an unbeliever, I don't care if you're rich or you're poor or anywhere in between, if you try, just try to outgive God, come back and talk to me 6 months from now or a year from now. Come and share the stories of how your life and the lives of thousands of other people are changing because of you trying to outgive God. You cannot do that. And we're going to look at that just a little bit further as we start to wrap this all up this morning. But the question becomes, is do you want that? Do you want that in your lives? Do you want to encounter that kind of Christ? Or is it easier to go encounter the dead Christ? Because a living Savior is much different. A living Savior wants to come and live within our hearts. A living Savior demands that he comes and he reigns within us, that he takes over. There's a difference there. Do you want to encounter that living Son of God, our Savior and Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords within our lives? Then you're going to see something here in a moment that we're going to uncover. It's a jewel in God's Word. It's a truth that's there. But before we get there, I'm going to share you this. I wrote this a few years ago, and I didn't understand then what it even meant. But it goes this way. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say it a little bit differently. When we run and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else, we will encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a spiritual law. It's just going to happen. When we go and share Christ, we're going to encounter Jesus Christ because he is the gospel. Without Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. So that's the you can't outgive God. You're going to encounter him in that moment that you run and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. We're going to prove that in just a moment through this passage. Got ahead of myself. Verses 7 through 10. Reads this way. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Let me stop right there. This is verse 7, right? We're going to read through verse 10 again. There is one word here that's going to help us discover what I just talked about. That one word that's the jewel that connects it all together. One descriptive word that shows up in verse 7 and verse 10. That without them, we cannot find what it is that God has for us here this morning. Here we go again from verse 7. Then quickly go and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. They ran. They told to tell the disciples. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus meets them there. Greetings. And they came to him. They took hold of his feet. They worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. That one word. Without the context, without slowing down for just a moment, without stopping and picturing this, without putting ourselves into the story, without making it internal today, you will not get this. If it remains external, it's just a story, it's just words. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate today, you're going to see that that one word changes everything. And it may not be the one you're thinking of. How many of you guys think it's go? That's a part of it. It's Galilee. It's Galilee. It shows up in verse 7. It shows up again in verse 10. So what difference does that make, the word Galilee? It makes all the difference in the world because, again, we have to put ourselves into the story and we have to slow down. Look at what happens here. The angel says to the women, go quickly, tell the disciples that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and then go to Galilee and there you will see him. What news, right? He's been raised from the dead and you get to see him today, but it's in Galilee. But then in verse 10, after they made that decision, after they believed, and stop for just a moment and think about that, they had to believe what the angel was telling them before they encountered Jesus Christ. They had to believe so that they could run and they could go and tell others. They had to believe to be able to leave that place and to go. And it's there that they encountered Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it shows up, right? In verse 9 and 10, suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. They came to him. They took hold of his feet. They worshiped him. And then Jesus says some of the same words over again. Do not be afraid. Go. And tell my brothers to do what? To go to Galilee. Meaning what? The women had never made it to Galilee. Do you see that? Do you pick that up? They were told to go to Galilee and they're going to see Jesus there. But the moment that they took upon their hearts that belief and that calling to go and tell somebody else, they encountered Jesus Christ. It wasn't about a place. It's not about Guatemala. It's not about this place or that place. It is about our hearts. It's about our hearts coming to know Jesus Christ, to believe that much, to go and to tell somebody else, mattering not the cost, mattering not how absurd it might sound. In that moment that we go, when our heart changes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes flooding in. It's not about Galilee. They encountered him long before. Remember what I had said? When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will encounter the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're almost done. We have a saying we use in Guatemala, right? We're not worried about time when we're dealing with eternity. That's where we're at this morning. As we wrap this up, the choice is ours. That's the blessing. That's the life that our Lord gives us. The choice is ours, but not to choose Jesus Christ is to have chosen to stay where we are, to stay right there, in a beautiful place, worshiping God, that he's been resurrected, but maybe not ever encountering him because he told us to go. The choice is ours. There's many in our churches today who never fully discover the living Savior. They know plenty about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. They know plenty about him, but they have yet to fully encounter the living Lord. And he challenges us to that today in his words, go. Go and tell others that he has been raised from the dead. Verse 7, the angel tells the women to go. Verse 10, Jesus tells them to go. And then right behind that, in the same chapter, you guys all know this one well, Jesus Christ's words to you and to me when he says this in chapter 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, here's the promise. I am with you always. Do you see again? He just confirms, he seals that promise that when we go and tell others about him, he's going to be with us. He promises that in his word. Do you want to truly know the Heavenly Father? Jesus Christ, his Son, the Holy Spirit in our lives? Then we have a choice to make today, to believe and then to go and tell others about him. His word is full of promises, thousands of promises, but they are not ours, just like the guards, right? They're not ours until that moment that we become his. In that moment, these promises all come true within our lives. There you will see me. Go and tell somebody else. You're going to see me there. As we close today, the question becomes this. Is this a picture of your life? Are you so passionate in telling others about Jesus Christ? Are you so passionate in who he is? Do you believe that much to go and to risk everything and tell someone else about Jesus Christ? Or not. If that's not a picture of your life, then I would challenge you to think deeply from the depths of your soul today whether or not you've truly encountered the living Lord. There you will see me. It's his promise to us. All of heaven is poised today. Our Savior waits longingly for your decision. Those 3 billion people, they wait today for one to make that decision to go. For one. And for many, many more. How long will we tarry at the tomb? How long will we ponder and think and wonder and plan and strategize and build budgets before we go? How long will we tarry while others wait? While others die without ever having heard his name. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for who you are. Lord, thank you for the power of your name, Lord, the love that is within that. And even though these words, Lord, they're sharper than a two-edged sword, and Lord, today they penetrate our hearts right to the quick. Lord, thank you that you love us too. Lord, that you give mercy to us, Lord, that you sustain us, Lord, that you come around us, Lord, that it's only in you that we can go, that without that, Lord, we cannot. So, Lord, we come before you today. Lord, we're weak. Lord, we are so weak. But, Lord, you say in your word that in our weakness you are made strong. Lord, we need that strength today. We need you today. We need your love for us today to fill our hearts up with that hope and the joy, the truth, and then to go forth and proclaim that to the nations. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.